again, welcome, Pal Church. It's great to be here to worship together. Welcome on this St. Patrick's Day. I see a lot of green out there. I also see a lot of orange out there. Both those colors are good today. Amen. Amen. And welcome to this second Sunday in the season of Lent, the Lent being that time between Ash Wednesday, which was just a week and a half ago, 40 days from that point, leading up to Easter, a season in which we remember those 40 days in which Jesus spent in the wilderness. He was fasting and praying, being tempted in the midst of all of that. And it's a season in which we then take a moment to reflect, what are some of our greatest struggles? What is it that's fighting for our allegiance, competing for our attention? I mean, what is it that is separating us or trying to separate us from what God is trying to do and speak into our lives? So, for this season of Lent, we are going through a new series that I'm simply calling, That's Out of My Comfort Zone. And I'm sure all of us have been there before. We've probably said these words. And if we haven't said them, we certainly know that we have been there. We have been pushed out of our comfort zones at times, whether it was at work, whether it was on the ball field, maybe it was at an amusement park, maybe it was at a school dance one time, maybe it was at a family gathering, or maybe it was facing somebody that was intimidating to you, maybe a bully or something like that. Maybe you're just facing your own limitations, and so you feel like, I'm stuck, I can't go any further. We've all been to those places where we just, we're right there on the edge, and we feel like, golly, this is out of my comfort zone. Well, last week, we discussed one of the things that helps keep us in our comfort zone, and we sang a couple songs about that already this morning, fear. Fear is one of those things that keeps us stuck. It keeps us stuck in our routines. Fear is one of the comfort zone's greatest allies. Even when we know that we need to at times step out of our comfort zones, even when we know that our comfort zones aren't good for us in the long term, fear keeps us stuck there. And so Jesus, he finds himself, and we discussed this last week, out of his comfort zone. He was pushed into the wilderness, into the desert, which is a place of struggle, a place of temptation. The Spirit pushes Jesus out there into the desert where he is then tempted. He is out of his comfort zone. Friends, let's remember, Jesus is fully human. He's fully divine, but he's fully human. And so he experiences the same things that we experience. And out there in the wilderness, in the place of struggle, in the desert, in the place of temptation, he is out of his comfort zone. And he is experiencing, I'm sure as we do, experiencing fear and concern. And there's some intimidation going on in his life. Well, today we're going to talk about a core value that can help us in the face of fear. It's a core value that can help us to take a step out of our comfort zones. And that value is called courage. I love this one scene from the movie Charlotte's Web, where there's some crows and they're sitting up on this post and they're looking down into the cornfield and they're facing one of their greatest fears. Take a look. Yeah, how many times are we like those crows? You know, we face different fears and different struggles and different intimidations every single day. There are people in our daily lives that intimidate us at some point or another. There are situations that strike fear into us on a regular basis. There are times, whether we want to admit it or not, that we run kind of through life and we find ourselves scared. Sometimes a little bit, sometimes a whole lot. We worry. We worry about how we're going to make it through. We worry about what's going to happen next. We worry about what will happen if I speak up. We wonder if any harm will come to us if we choose to step out and do something about this thing that's intimidating us. We shake with anxiety with the thought of having to face those greatest fears, having to face those intimidations that exist in our lives. And so, oftentimes, we choose to run away from the moment. Right when we get to that point where we think, okay, this is it. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone this time, and I'm going to confront this situation. So many times when we get to that point, just like those crows, we turn around, we tuck tail, and we go back. Because fear is one of those great allies to our comfort zones. And so fear keeps us stuck. Fear keeps us returning back to our very, very comfortable lives. And like those crows, we oftentimes, when we step out that one time, like those crows, we oftentimes end up aborting our missions for the comfort of how life is. But what if? What if in the midst of stepping out of our comfort zones, we were to carry with us this value called courage? Courage. What if in the face of intimidation, what if we were to come to that face-to-face with courage? The great ancient philosopher Aristotle said, "You will never do anything significant in this world without courage." Courage has been defined this way: having mental or moral strength to persevere and withstand danger, fear, and difficulty. Courage is having the mental or moral strength to persevere and withstand danger, fear, and something else. Difficulty. The great American poet Maya Angelou, she once said, "Courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without it, you cannot practice any other virtue. Because to live a virtuous life, you must first have courage." Courage. Mental strength and moral fortitude. Courage. You see, I believe that when we face intimidation in our lives, when we face those scary things, when we face our fears, when we step out of our comfort zones, when we do it with courage, transformation happens. When someone steps out in courage, transformation happens. When someone takes a risk with courage, transformation happens. Think about it. Think about some people in history. Think about some people in the Bible. I think about people like Rosa Parks, who said, "You know, this time I am not giving up my seat." A simple act of courage. And in that moment, she became the face of the civil rights movement, not just in our nation, but across the world. Courage. I think of the German pastor Martin Luther in 1517, when he nailed some theses on the door of a church in Wittenberg, Germany, and he was done with the way the Catholic Church was pastoring the people of God. He said, "It's not right. It's not biblical." And so he took a step of courage and he posted these theses. I think of the men who founded this nation, that under the tyranny of a foreign government, they finally decided, "You know what? We're done. We're going to step out and we are going to form a new nation." Ben Franklin was quoted as saying, "In this time, men, if we do not hold together in this time, then we will certainly hang individually soon." Courage. Now, a single act of courage, if they had known what the results were going to be, those three people, the forefathers and Rosa Parks and Martin Luther, if they had known what the result was going to be by stepping out, then it wouldn't have taken courage. It just would have been something that they did, and we would all be doing it. But they didn't know what the end result was going to be. And so in the midst of that, they still chose to step out, but they did so in courage. This is an old, old story. You go back into the Bible and you look at people like Abraham, who had a really nice home up on the Tigris River, and life was good, and they had all the water and all the crops that they could have ever wanted or needed. And Abram hears a voice from God that says, get up, pack your family up, and leave, and go to the land which I will show you. Trust me. And he did it. Were things perfect? Was that entire trip great? Absolutely not. In fact, there were some suspect things that were done as Abraham moved on to this promised land. But he obeyed God and he stepped out in courage. Or how about Moses? After being raised in the court of Pharaoh and having that wonderful life, and then all of a sudden he sees one of the Egyptian slave masters kill a Hebrew, actually beat him up really bad. And Moses goes and kills the taskmaster, the slave master. And then he runs. He's afraid. He's like, I've killed one of Pharaoh's people. I'm out of here. And so he ends up in a place called Midian. He is living the rural life out there in the wilderness. And all of a sudden, he's one day walking along and sees a burning bush. And he chooses to go towards it. And God encounters him. And God says, Moses, I want you now to go back to Egypt. Go back to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Can you imagine how afraid Moses was to do that, knowing that he had killed somebody back there? And now he's been sent to go back to Pharaoh and to give Pharaoh, the king, an order? Now, Moses fought this. Don't get me wrong. He just didn't say, okay. He had a whole list of excuses, which I resonate with, because I can tell you right now, there have been times in my life I have given a whole bunch of excuses of why I can't do something, God. And yet, he eventually went, and he took a step of courage. Or how about David, the little shepherd boy, the youngest boy of Jesse's sons? When they are getting taunted, the Hebrew army is getting taunted by the Philistines, and in particular getting taunted by this one giant Philistine named Goliath. And everybody was shaking in their boots, and no one would go out to fight Goliath. And little David says, I'll do it. And they said, okay, well, let's give you a sword and a shield and armor. And it didn't fit. I mean, he was still young, and he couldn't move with that stuff on. It was so heavy. He just went out to face Goliath with what he knew, with what he had, which was a slingshot and a few stones. He took a step out in courage because he realized that Goliath wasn't just taunting an army. Goliath was taunting God's people. And he was not going to stand for it. So David took a step of courage. Now, David went on to be king. Was he perfect? Did he make all great decisions? Absolutely not. He made some horrible decisions. But he continued to seek after God. And he continued to take steps of courage. So what do all these people have in common with one another? Well, they all stepped out of their comfort zones. They all went head to head with a situation or with a person or with something that you would not expect someone to have the courage to deal with. They went head to head with these things and they stepped out to face them in courage. You see, I believe that when we face intimidating situations with courage, transformation happens. Our world and the world around us will change when we take a step of courage and to face things that God is calling us to face. And there's Jesus. Jesus has begun his ministry, and he is turning the world upside down through his teachings and his healings. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and Jesus knew what that meant for him. After he had done his ministry up in Galilee and in the surrounding areas, he began a journey to Jerusalem. And Jesus knew what this meant. In fact, he tried to teach his disciples what this was going to mean. It was going to mean that he was going to suffer and that he was going to be tried and he was going to be accused and he was going to be crucified and that he was going to die. He tried to tell them that. But you know, sometimes when you got a great leader and they're trying to tell you things are going to get rough here soon, you don't want to hear it. You just want to keep on going. And so they didn't really listen to him. Well, finally, somebody else decides, we're going to speak this word into Jesus. And Jesus isn't afraid. But some Pharisees, they decide to approach Jesus. Jesus has been teaching. He's been healing. Jesus has been challenging some of the Jewish laws. You see, he'd been healing people on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do any kind of work on the Sabbath. And yet, here Jesus was healing people on the Sabbath. And some of the Pharisees and some of the synagogue leaders, they did not like it because it appeared as if Jesus was breaking the law. Jesus was going against what the Bible said. And yet, here he continued the work. And so we read a story about Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. We're kind of going through Luke's Gospel for this series. And in this story, some people, these Pharisees, they come to Jesus, and they come to intimidate him. At that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus and said, "Go, get away from here, because Herod," who's a political leader of that area, "Herod wants to kill you." You know, I think if most of us heard that, we would probably tuck tail and run. We don't want to die. Herod is out to kill you. Jesus said to him, "Go tell that fox, 'Look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will come back and finish my work. It's necessary for me to travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.'" He hadn't made it to Jerusalem yet. And then, this is like a prayer of Jesus's. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who were sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you did not want that. Look, your house is abandoned. I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" You see, intimidation is used with Jesus. You need to get away from here. Now, whether Herod was actually out to kill Jesus or not, we're not sure. Maybe this was just the Pharisees trying to put a spin on things and trying to intimidate Jesus because they didn't like some of the things that he was doing. They didn't like some of the things that he was teaching. They didn't like the healings that were occurring on the Sabbath because it seemed like it was breaking Sabbath law. You know, that happens to us. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, you know, I'd be careful." Well, why? Well, you know what they're saying. You ever heard that? You know what those people are saying? Oh, people are saying something? Okay, well, maybe I'll back off. Maybe I won't go do that. I mean, if they're saying something, first of all, who's they? And secondly, what is it that they're saying? Well, in this situation, the they is Herod, who is the political leader, who has the authority to execute people. And so what is he saying? He wants to kill you. That's intimidation at its finest. We don't know if that's exactly what was happening, but that's what's said to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Go tell that fox that I've got more work to do." You see, when someone is going around upsetting the apple cart and those who are in control and who have power don't like the changes that are happening, when transformation begins to happen in the world, people's claws come out. Because we don't want to be pushed out of our comfort zones. We don't like change. Our comfort zones are predictable. We know what's going to happen when we live within our comfort zones. And Jesus is doing things that is transforming the world. And people are getting pushed out of their comfort zones. And so the claws come out and they begin to intimidate Jesus. And Jesus says, you go tell that fox, I am not done here. And then he goes on to say something really interesting. He describes himself. He says, oh, how I wish I were like a mother hen who could gather in her chicks. Wow. You know, I think when we think of courage, we think of bravery. We think of you have what it takes to go out and win. Courage is what you need to go into that battle and to defeat and win the battle. I think a lot of times when we hear courage, that's what we're thinking of. But Jesus, he's not thinking like that. First of all, he calls Herod a fox, which, you know, a lot of times we think foxes are like, you know, these little clever animals, but really a fox is just a wily, deceptive little animal. And you know what foxes prey on? They prey on weak, smaller animals. And a lot of times a fox will get into a hen house and will steal the eggs and eat the chicks. That's what foxes do. And Jesus describes himself as a mother hen who wants to gather her chicks under her wings. You know what a mother hen will do when faced with a fox? You know what a mother hen will do when her chicks are around her and there's a fox and they're eye to eye? Mother hen does not have things to defend herself like a rooster, which is really interesting, you know. In the Holy Land, there are chapels that are placed in significant spots where Jesus did his ministry. And there's this one chapel that is placed on this particular passage, just outside of Jerusalem, where Jesus is looking over Jerusalem and he's weeping for them. And at the altar of this church, there is not a hen, but a rooster. Because you see, a rooster can defend itself. A rooster has got some pretty significant claws. A rooster can fight. I mean, if you're familiar with cockfighting here in East Tennessee, you know what a rooster can do. But Jesus didn't describe himself as a rooster. He described himself as a mother hen. And you know what a mother hen will do to protect her chicks? She will give her life to the fox in order to save her kids. She will offer herself to protect her chicks. I don't think it's any coincidence. Right here, Jesus is saying, you tell that fox that I'm not done, and on the third day, I will come back, and I'm going to finish my work. Jesus practiced courage. In the face of intimidation, Jesus took on courage. He did not allow the intimidators to have the final say. Jesus said, I'm going to finish my work. I've got more work to do, and I'm going to finish my work. That, my friends, is courage. There are plenty of Herods in this world. There are plenty of world leaders that want to intimidate us, want to intimidate their countries, want to put people in fear. I think of Venezuela right now. I think of terrorism all across the world, trying to intimidate and instill fear in people. And Jesus just comes face to face with it, nose to nose. And we're called to follow in Jesus' way. I read something one time that basically said this, that, you know, Jesus doesn't go about the work of victory in the ways that we typically think about victory. Jesus isn't about hunting down the fox. Jesus isn't about putting his hound dogs on the fox. Jesus is about offering himself, laying down his life. Why? Because Jesus knows, and we know this, church, we know that the victory is already won. We don't go into the battle trying to destroy and to kill and to defeat. We go into the battle laying down our lives, letting the last to be first. We go into the battle bearing our cross because the victory is already won, which gives us strength, which gives us courage to face any situation. Courage. In the face of intimidation, we can have courage. And let me tell you, anytime we step out in courage, it has the power to transform the world. I finish with a story about a German pastor named Martin Niemöller. Martin Niemöller was, in 1934, a pastor in Nazi Germany. And at one point, Hitler orders all the church leaders of that country to have a meeting with him. And in this meeting, Hitler says, "You confine yourselves," speaking to the pastors, he says, "You confine yourselves to the work of the church. I will take care of the people." That was Hitler's instructions to the church leaders. But Martin Niemöller spoke up after listening to the speech. Martin Niemöller, he spoke up and he said these words. He said, "Responsibility for the people is part of the work of us as Christians as well. That responsibility that we entrusted has been entrusted to us by God as well. And neither you nor anyone here in this world can keep us from that work. We must obey God, not man." That's what Niemöller said straight up to Adolf Hitler. Well, Hitler apparently just listened. But the next evening, Martin's home was raided. He was arrested. 2 days later, his church was bombed. In the face of intimidation, saying, "You churchmen, you just keep to your churches, I'll take care of everything else." In the face of that intimidating instruction, Niemöller said, The people of Germany are our responsibility too. God calls us to that work. Well, Niemöller was put in prison and he faced trial. And so he went to trial. And it was in 1938 that his trial date finally came. And he was ushered through the lower hallways there at the jail and the prison to the courthouse. And he finally got there and the prison guards were there in their green suits and just extremely straight-faced, just cold. And all of a sudden, Martin began to shake. He says, "What's going to happen here? What's going to become of my family? What's going to become of my church people? What's going to become of me as I know torture awaits me?" He was afraid. He was scared. Well, the guard grabbed him. It was time to go up the stairs into the courtroom. And his face, the guard's face, was very impassive and he was silent. And so they began to ascend that final staircase. And Martin Niemöller says that he heard what he thought was a whisper from God. And he wasn't sure where it was coming from. And he kind of looked around and then he realized where it was coming from. As he was going up the stairs with this guard clinging to his arm, the guard was actually whispering very, very lightly into his ear. as Martin was shaking and going up the staircase awaiting trial, and the guard was actually whispering Proverbs 18:10, which says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they will be safe." Whispering that into his ear as he faces his trial. And he said, "And at that point, I gained courage. Not courage from within myself. I gained courage from God's word, that our God is a tower of strength. And I can run to it, and God will care." What a word for us today. We live in a world today where there is all kinds of intimidation. Whether it's in the corporate world, or whether it's at the national level, or maybe it may be in our personal lives. There's a whole lot of intimidation out there, folks. But one single act of courage can transform, not just you, can transform the community around you, and it can transform the world. Courage. God gives it to you. Let us pray.